Chuck Bagley.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shack Baggerly, all things loose and disorderly with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend Howard Middleton from the Great British Bake Off. Episode 84. So, other things with the same number. Centimetres height of women's high hurdles. Miles length of the world's largest traffic jam happened in Japan in 1990. And the percentage of 7 to 11-year-olds who refused to eat spinach. To be honest, don't really blame them, eh? So I hope you've had a good week. Before I do anything, I have to apologise, because last week's episode, I mentioned the word epitome, which of course should have been pronounced epitome. I put it down to being tired, but it was unusual for Howard not to pull me up on it.
It's after I read that sweet shop book that if you're working in a sweet shop, you shouldn't correct customers, even if they mispronounce sweets or anything like that. So I thought I'll learn from that.
Yeah. But please, if I do something like that again, please will you mention it? Because sometimes my brain is so far ahead of my mouth that it doesn't always coordinate.
I'll just have a quarter of epitomes, please. Chocolate epitomes.
Anyway, fortunately, to make me feel better, we've had a lovely review.
Oh, good.
From Winosaurus Rex.
Yes.
From the United States of America. Heartwarming and hilarious. Binging the wonderful podcast to get up to date. It is a feel-good listen that I always look forward to. I love to hear Howard and Katie chat about their lives, experiences, friendship and food. It seems as though they've invited you over to hang out with them for a quick catch-up, never missing an opportunity to make you laugh. Thank you for making my week a little brighter. That's just lovely, isn't it?
It is lovely, isn't it? Yeah, brilliant. I do like the idea that we've invited people over, because then we haven't got to worry about what to give them either, because they're not really here.
And we haven't got to tidy up.
No.
I mean, it's lovely when people come round, but it's just having to make sure, yeah, that everything's just so. So the fact that we do this podcast and we don't have to tidy up is just amazing.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thank you to Nicholas Poust. Every week is full of heartwarming laughs because of you two. If we were just on the edge, that would probably make me cry. But thank you for that.
Where are we on the edge of?
No, if you were on the edge, you know.
I see what you mean. Mm, all right. Yeah. Don't stand too close to the edge. No.
No.
Come away. Have we ever talked about Mrs. Mary Eaton? We don't know yet until I tell you a bit more about it.
It's not ringing a bell or a gong, so tell us more about Mary then.
She wrote this book in 1822 called, wait for it, The Cook and Housekeeper's Complete and Universal Dictionary, including a system of modern cookery in all its various branches, adapted to the use of private families, also a variety of original and valuable information relative to baking, brewing, carving, cleaning, colouring, curing, and the economy of bees.
And a partridge in a pear tree. Good grief, it must be a huge book just to fit that title on it.
No, but I had a little look who Mary Eaton is and couldn't find anything about her. She's not the same. I don't think she's the same person who was the botanical illustrator during Victorian times. And she's certainly, I think we can safely say, not the Mary Eaton who performed in the Ziegfeld Follies. So we don't know. I think it's the wrong period. But yes, an interesting recipe in there. Have we done sausages with apples before? I think we have, but not
We have done sausages with apples, but I don't know if it was Mary's recipe.
I don't think it was Mary's recipe for sausages with apples. So this is from her book, which I shall just refer to as her book.
Her book.
Rather than reading that title out again. So, sausages with apples. Fry some sliced apples with the sausages till they are of a light brown. Lay the sausages in the middle of the dish and the apples round them. Or fry them without apples. and serve them on fried bread, which then basically is not a recipe for sausages with apples anymore, is it?
No.
Or you can serve them with mashed potatoes, or put the sausages into boiling water, simmer them about 5 minutes, and serve them with poached eggs or roasted potatoes. She can't decide what she's serving these sausages with, can she?
So that kind of suggests then she couldn't decide the name of the book. That's why it's so long. So we kind of knew she'd be struggling with each recipe then. Poor Mary.
Poor Mary. Oh, bless her. Yeah. Within that title, baking, brewing, carving, cleaning, colouring, curing, and an economy of bees, I thought, I don't know what colouring is. Do you?
Colouring of bees?
No. Oh. There's baking, brewing, carving, and cleaning. We can do all those. And then there's colouring and curing and the economy of bees. So I think the economy of bees is not that they've opened their own little bank. I think it's just how to look after them, isn't it? How to look after bees, how to keep them. Right. But collaring, I mean, we talk about, oh, I got collared by somebody, don't we? But I found it.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
So, wonderful thing called The Cookbook of Unknown Ladies. yes! It's held by the Westminster City Archives. And basically what they've done is they've put together a collection of handwritten recipes from the Georgian and Regency period that spans over 150 years. And within there are some recipes for collaring. So there's one here for mutton collars. And this is going to be difficult because it's one of those where it's got all the F's and S's and things. Take a breast and neck of mutton, bone it, spread it on ye dresser. Take ye yolks of 3 eggs, boiled hard and shred small, half a lemon peel shred, 3 anchovies shred, some chives, thyme, pepper and allspice pounded. Strew these over ye... Oh, this is... It's put it over the meat. And then it says, clap the breast on the neck and roll them up hard with a tape and cloth in a collar. So basically, it's like rolling meat up into a cloth. You can either bung this into vinegar and basically pickle it, or you can cook it in like a thick gravy or some kind of sauce and boil it that way. But it's what we would call kind of rolled. They used to call it collaring. So,
oh,
yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Ah, so a bit like rolled herring, because we were talking about herring last week.
Oh,
so
yes.
Rolled.
Have we brought herrings back yet?
Yeah. Well, we've had... We're going to have to stop doing that. Because if nobody knows that song, they'll think we're just something a bit strange. Carol says, my husband loves herring. I think it's a German thing. Anyway, it's not my kind of thing. So Carol can't be German then, can she? But obviously her hubby is. So good to hear from you, Carol.
Hubby is, yeah.
Margaret says, how did you know my hubby loves herring? So I...
Oh.
Yeah. I simply refuse to be near them. They smell fishy, and to my dismay, my hubby shares them with our 10-month-old bulldog, who immediately rushes to me and rubs essence of herring on my legs. I will not be trying the recipe, but I will pass it along to my husband. Thank you for sharing. And then there's a little green sick face emoji after that one. And Jade, in response to Margaret, says, dogs love fish, but I'm with you, not a fan of herring. So that's 2-3 ladies don't like the herring, but the 2 men in their lives do. So is it a man thing?
Well, it's either men or dogs, isn't it? But are the man, it's the dogs that are rubbing their noses on the lady's legs, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not the husband.
No. Margaret's husband is not rubbing essence of herring on. It's definitely the dog. And this is taken from the book Bachelor's Cupboard that I found last week. And Jerry, in response to all this, said, I'd be happy to be invited to dinner by that bachelor. Herring is delicious. So, Jerry, being a female, does like it. So, yeah. Now then, Amy says, it sounds lovely, but I'm allergic to herring.
Oh, can you be specifically allergic to just herring, or would that be a general kind of fish allergy, do you think? Well, it can't be, can it?
I don't know. I don't know. You can be allergic to shellfish, can't you? But you can eat fish.
Yeah.
And then do you remember, oh gosh, weeks and weeks ago, we were talking about Builder's bum. It is, to be fair to be said, it is normally a fella, and the trousers slip down a bit, and then things are exposed, and there's that, yes, and it's a builder's
that
bum.
Little crack.
Joy said, Joy's been in touch. By the way, we call builder's bum plumber's crack.
Yes.
Now, but she says we call it plumber's crack here, but I don't know where here is. So hang on, I've going to have to find out, because I forgot that bit. Hang on. Bear with me, Corey.
It's very specific.
Yes, here. I don't think she meant in her house, or maybe on that street. I suspect it's where they are in the world.
No.
Oh, Virginia. In Virginia. Oh. Yeah, in Virginia. On the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine. Right. You know we were working away again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks as if you had a lovely time. And do you know how strange was it? Was Bridgewater, wasn't it?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, and it came up as a question on one of the quizzes this week, and I just said I just said Bridgewater, and Peter looked at me like I was so intelligent. I thought, well, you just be reading about this.
Ah, yes, so it's the RHS. But did you see that we had a lovely time? They were possibly one of the friendliest bunch of people we've ever worked with. And and everything was going really well until we tried to go home after 3 days working there.
Yes, bless you with those gates.
We drove. Oh, God. It was dark. It was 7:30 and went to the gates and they were locked, Howard, padlocked. We couldn't get out. We couldn't get home.
Oh, no.
And
obviously there's nobody there at that time. And was there any, had you got any information about who to call in an emergency or something?
Well, we rang the lady that had been with us, obviously, the 3 days. And she said, the number of the security is on the fence. To which we said, yes, but the other side.
No!
So that was that. And then drove, because it's a huge site. So then we drove back up to the main entrance. There was nobody there. Went back to the gate, rang her again. She said, I'm so sorry. She said, go back where you came. There must be a security guard somewhere. There's got to be. So we drove back to where we'd been. And then, now bearing in mind, this is now dark. It is dark. Mm. And it's probably 7:50. And I've said these words to Glyn. Glyn, do you think we're going to have to sleep in the van? To which Glyn says, no, I have a toolkit and I will have to use it. So that was it. So anyway, we went back through this and we were just pipping the horn. We were really rebellious. So we were driving through this huge site that's totally empty, pipping the horn in the hope that somebody would see. Anyway, this chap, I think he'd been asleep, comes round and he says, I thought you knew the code to get out. Anyway, we obviously didn't. So we were probably 45 minutes later setting off. So
isn't it annoying that Peter does that as well? Where it's so easy for someone to just say, I thought. Mm. Why would you think that? Why would you assume? Mm. I thought you didn't want that anymore. I thought we weren't watching this. You know, I thought you were happy for me to watch this on my own. All sorts of stuff like that. Why would you think that? Yeah.
Anyway, we got out probably about 45 minutes afterwards. But there was just that. Gosh. There was just that moment where I thought we may have to stay here, and Glyn was all set to get his toolkit out and break out, which I thought was really quite attractive. Oh, really?
Yes, I like that.
Yeah. I found, not that it was lost, but a special edition of Betty Crocker's Desserts Cookbook.
Oh.
And it says over 500 thoroughly tested recipes. I like that. Thoroughly tested.
Yeah.
A taste-tempting treasury of happy endings. Isn't that lovely?
Wonderful. Takes a bit of saying, but we like it.
Not quite as much as Mary's book, though, eh? 1974, this is. And the beginning says, Dear Friend, just desserts, that's what we have in store for you. and what an array. So she then picks up, I say she, because we've established there's no Betty Crocker, was it? It was a made-up.
No.
Which is interesting because there's a picture of a lady on the back as if she's Betty Crocker.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think over the years, they've changed the image of Betty Crocker. So Betty's developed, her appearance has changed.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think it's like, well, I presume Captain Birdseye has as well, hasn't he?
I suppose.
Possibly. Yeah. I think he's got a bit more attractive.
Some men do, though, don't they, as they get older? Always sickening. Men
fictitious
do
ones, especially, yeah.
Now, so it goes on to say about desserts, whether you choose a new one or an old favourite and all this. But the bit that I was drawn to, Howard, two reasons. One is that it sounds as if desserts are good for you, which I'm all for. But also, I remember you, all right? And you'll know which bit it is. So, this whole paragraph begins with, remember that desserts are more than sheer enjoyment. They are good energy foods and can add nutritional value to the diet if they contain milk, eggs or fruit. Well, thank goodness for that. Finally, after all these years, desserts are good for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If they contain milk, eggs or fruit. Doesn't matter whether they've got cream, butter, sugar, and things like that, as long as they've not got those components.
Yeah, let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story. And then it says, finally, an important tip. Are you ready for this? This is where you come in. All our cake recipes include high altitude directions when necessary. Brackets, based on testing at 5,000 feet. Close brackets. When a recipe calls for a cake mix, be sure to check the package directions for high altitude information. Well, we've established that you, haven't you? You are an expert at high altitude.
Well, it's funny you should say that, actually, because I went and did an event last week, last Friday, actually, over in Knutsford. It was in an office and we were decorating cupcakes and lovely group. But one of the women there said, oh, my friend is a real fan of yours. She's in America. I'm just messaging her now. And she said she always has a problem with her cakes sinking. They're really, really flat. So I said, oh, is she at high altitude, thinking I can help with this? To which she replied, no. And I'm thinking, now I don't know why are cakes are flat? Try putting another egg in. Mate, I don't know how to help.
Started off well. Anyway, under this book, there's a chapter called Nostalgic Naturals.
Oh, nice.
Which, again, you could have, couldn't you? You could either have it as a television channel, Nostalgic Naturals, or you could have it as maybe a group.
What are you thinking Nostalgic Naturals is as a TV channel? Because I'm thinking the possibility of older people with no clothes on reminiscing about the past.
And where things used to be slightly higher.
Yes!
No, I like that. We'll just go with that one. Yeah. It's going to be, I don't know, on Channel 103 or something like that. You have to look for it. So under Nostalgic Naturals, there's an apple nut cake with velvet rum sauce.
Oh, nice.
I thought you'd like the sound of that. So the apple nut cake is, as you'd imagine, but I was drawn to the velvet rum sauce. So it is purely, let's have a look. Half a cup of butter or margarine. So to me, I'd have butter because margarine.
Oh, yes.
Now, who says it? Margarine is so many stages away from plastic. And I can't remember how many stages and who said it.
Like 6 degrees of separation or something
it's
like that.
It's nearly plastic.
No,
it's not nice.
Nearly plastic.
So half a cup of butter, a cup of sugar, half a cup of light cream, 20%, or one can, about 6 ounces, of evaporated milk.
Mm-hmm.
2 tablespoons of rum or 1 teaspoon rum flavouring and then 1 teaspoon of nutmeg, and that's all it is. Combine all the ingredients in a medium saucepan, heat to boiling over a low heat, stirring constantly, serve warm, and it'll make about 1.5 cups. So that sounds lovely, doesn't it?
It does sound lovely, actually. So if we dispense with the margarine and do it with butter.
Yes.
And actually, to be honest, I'm going to go for the rum rather than the rum flavouring.
Me too, yeah.
But yes, that does sound nice.
And going with what she said at the beginning, as long as something's got, what was it? Fruit. Can nutmeg come under a fruit? No. What else was it she said? Milk.
We've got, it's with apple, isn't it? We've got apples
yes,
in there.
Yes, apple nut cakes, that's the fruit.
Yes!
Well done, yep. Well done.
Yep.
And it's got milk in. Yeah, the apple nut cake is, as it says, cup shortening, egg, tablespoons of water, sugar, all-purpose flour, baking soda, salt, nutmeg, 2 cups of chopped paired apple, 1/2 cup of chopped nuts, and the velvet rum sauce. Yeah, sounds lovely, so we like that one. Now, the other thing that I was going to ask you, I was chatting to a lady called Kim. Kim's in the UK. Kim was saying about how she liked white port. Now, I've never come across white port. Have you?
I think I've heard of it, but I've never actually tried it. Port generally doesn't agree with me. I find it too heavy. But white port does sound like it would be a lighter version, doesn't it? So
yeah, I wondered if you'd heard of it. She said it was absolutely lovely, but I've yet to find it. So we need to look up white port. So let me just have a look at white port. It's made from white grapes and comes in 2 styles, dry and sweet. The sweet version is the traditional style of white port and tends to be rich and grapey. Examples of these may last as long as some of the red vintage ports and make an excellent aperitif. White port typically has somewhere between 16.5% to 20% ABV, and it shows a golden colour, aromas of honey and nut. Well, again, that's fruit.
Oh, nice. It's going to go well with that sauce, isn't it?
Yeah. So I quite like this. Oh, and I tell you, though, it's once you open, should be stored in the fridge. It's going to last 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it says, drink white port, chill straight up in a white wine glass, or pour equal parts white port and tonic or soda water in a cocktail glass and garnish with lime. Oh, I say. So if you've had white port, we need to know. Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you, Kim, for putting us in the right direction. Oh, and hello to the Ivory Coast. We've new listeners.
No. Mm. Are we doing it? Is it Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire? Is it? I don't know. Sometimes they pronounce it in French, don't they?
Oh.
Well, Côte d'Ivoire?
No, on our analytics for who's listening, it just says the Ivory Coast is listening.
Oh, just say it.
I don't know anymore. Oh, I tell you though, Howard, you know, going back to where we were at Bridgewater, on the Sunday, I was comparing the event, and on the Sunday we had refugees from Ukraine, refugees from Syria, and refugee from Kurdistan on our stage demonstrating their dishes of their homeland. So Borscht, or Bosht, I should say, has been recognised by UNESCO, who have protected it because, obviously, with the Russian invasion, they were worried that that's got to be, it'll be endangered. So we're doing that. But, oh, the stories. We are so lucky. The stories that you hear, how why they had to flee with the war and coming over from Ukraine, especially, and a lady with a 16-year-old son, and all they're allowed to bring over is one suitcase. And when you go on holiday and you have a suitcase, the palaver of what you're going to take, and it's never enough. Can you imagine having to leave your home with one suitcase for you both to escape, and you're leaving everything behind? Jeez.
My goodness.
No, it was...
How did you get them on to be demonstrating on the stage, then? Is that something that they're doing generally to go around and raise awareness? Or?
Well, I think it's to do, because Manchester's very diverse, which is hats off to them. So this particular lady with the Ukraine story, she came over and was homed in Bolton in Lancashire, didn't speak any English, and volunteered at Bridgewater. And also, while she was there, there are other Ukrainians from, is it first generation Ukrainians born here, but their parents came over after the Second World War. So there was a community. So they'd worked together, and then they set about doing a demonstration. The lady from Kurdistan, oh, bless her, she was 20 when she came over. 6 years ago, she had to flee. situations that we would never even think about, really, but she'll never be able to go back again, came over on her own, no English, and she volunteered at a local, it's called Manchester Urban Diggers, so it's a garden, and she volunteered there. And then she now cooks to earn some money. And then the Syrian one, it was a mother and a daughter's. And the daughter was 19 when she came over. And because she was the oldest daughter, she has to, in their way, have to be in charge of mum, dad and the whole family. So she came over having to suddenly learn English. And that was during COVID as well, just before COVID. Oh, I tell you, made me cry, Howard. The stories and the dreadful that had to do. But amazing, their dishes. Yeah. To learn so much about the way and their how they use. There was a lot of dill going on, and I'm not that keen on dill, are you? What I've said now.
I thought for a second you said there was a lot of dildo. No, there was a lot of dill going on. That's right, wasn't it?
Where are you thinking? For this afternoon, mister?
I don't know. I think sometimes the connection here... There are other ways, apparently, we can record the podcast. I must send you a link. Rather than doing it on Zoom, I think there's another way of doing it. And what it does is it records our conversations independently, so it makes it easier to edit, apparently. So that might be useful. So that I don't mishear what you're saying.
Yes,
and
the thing is, though, when you mishear, it's half the time it's the funniest bit. Hi to Julie in the States. She says, please keep up Shaq Baggerly. It is amazing. Such a wonderful, funny spot in the week amongst often difficult circumstances for so many around the world. Your humour and repertoire... Your humour and repertoire are amazing. Many thanks for it. That's Julie. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, yeah. Oh, I like people admiring our repertoire, yeah.
From a distance. From a distance, yeah. Oh. So what are you up to now, then, when I leave you?
What have I got to do next? Oh, I've got a bit of work to do, and I've got... I've got some hot chocolate to make for Peter because he's. I said to him, I'll do it after I finish the podcast. So we've slightly pushed it back a bit today, haven't we? So he's probably salivating.
So how's Mum doing?
She's good actually. She's been quite a lot better this week, and we've ticked things off. So she's got the new shower in. Knows how to work it, knows how to work the heating. But whilst I was round there the other day, I thought, oh, this is a Shaq Baggerly conversation. It definitely is. When a conversation with my mum starts with the line, I bleached my dishcloth the other day, I thought, this is a story and a half, isn't it? So, yeah, she said, I bleached my dishcloth the other day. Then I refilled the tea bag jar. I didn't notice I must have dropped a tea bag in with the dishcloth. When I took it out, it had gone all brown. I thought, well, that was a waste of time. So, oh, dear.
Dear June, love those moments. Now, as we finish recording, Wendy Oswin, hi to you. Wendy kindly messaged Read the Herring recipe that we mentioned on our Instagram and Facebook page, saying it sounds delicious. So please do let us know if you try it. And once again, thank you for our reviews this week. We love hearing from you. And our email address, as always, podcast@theshackbaggerly.co.uk. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Right, puddings. What was it? As long as they contain milk, fruit and eggs, they add nutritional value. Spotted dick it is then.